return called Sabatino with Roland Smith as we continue on. This is Smith Sabatino, heard on America's Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. Let me get that in. And Roland, shall we continue on?
Well, you know, I thought at this particular segment, Carl, I would be a little preachy. Well, maybe not preacher. Preachy.
The soapbox.
What about the didactic? No, I don't want to be didactic either. But I do want to bring up some stuff on integrity.
The box is there.
That we've talked about. Okay, it's
top.
A soapbox. That works even better.
Stand on
top. Do you know the origin of the soapbox before I get into
this? No, I do not, as a matter of fact.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Years ago, before we had radio television, and you had the campaigns for election, and particularly Lincoln's time and beyond, the individual campaigning and making a speech would stand on a soapbox.
How do you like that? Did not know.
So that the crowd in the back could see him.
Yes.
Or her. Mm-hmm. Mostly him in those days. And so that's where it comes in. You know, he's up on his soapbox.
I've got it, as they say, tucked away.
Do you realize at the end of the semester, there'll be a test on this?
Yes.
And there'll be multiple choice, fill in the blank for you, and a couple of essays.
I'm taking notes as we speak.
All right.
Writing as fast as I can.
You know, but I mentioned integrity. You know, we don't think about it too much.
No.
It's assumed to be learned and ingrained. An ingrained condition from our childhood into adulthood? You think so. But something that, you know, that we, I think it's something that we acquire as we get older rather than something we have to work at or weigh consciously. Maybe it's time, I think, for us to remember that what we learned as children before the adult ego began its attempt to subvert the integrity of the heart, you know, tell the truth, don't fib, play fair, share. Say you're sorry, be honorable, you know, all of those great qualities. But it seems today that the selective truth is acceptable to get what one wants or to not get what one doesn't want, simply by bribing, by lying. In all forms of corporate or governmental corruption, some of those things come to mind. We see the news stories every day. Integrity has a lot of brothers and sisters in that immediate family, I think. Morality comes to mind, ethics, virtue, justice, prudence. And the other one I know we've talked about before is honor. The unique commonality about all of these things is that they comprise unenforceable values by which we choose to live. And isn't it the choice, Carl, that makes it difficult?
It is. It always is the choice. But when integrity is your mantle, is the staff upon which you rest, then you're, most of the time, that choice will be a good one.
Have you seen any major examples in your lifetime of an example of out-and-out integrity?
Yes. Yes. It took place where I lived, where someone was trying to save a park. And it was a small park, a tiny little, one of those little enclaves in a downtown city, could be any place in America. And this elderly woman stood tall against all odds because she believed in this little park. And I asked her at one time, a woman whom my family knew, why it was so important that you saved this little park. She said, because it is a place upon which our history rests. The history of this community rests in this park. And she gave me a quick little tour. The park I could not have been 100 feet by 300 feet if it was that big. It was small. And she stood on, she had at many points had been bribed by a number of people for some considerable amounts of money at the time to abandon her fight so that the park could be ripped apart and commercial development put in there. She died with that park still intact, and I drove past there some weeks ago to see the park still there. She fought with the kind of the integrity that only someone who believes in a purpose, there is a mission behind that. But and the basis of her existence was the integrity of her belief in her system that said we must preserve this park.
Can you think of where you've seen or read about integrity in our political system, let's say from the 1700s on to now?
And I cannot remember the names, unfortunately, but it took place during Lincoln's first administration, during the throes of the Civil War, when a manufacturer in the Northeast was producing equipment for the Union Army that none of which was able to hold up in war.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot remember his name, and I do apologize. The Secretary of War at the time, or State, I'm not sure what they described him as, and I wish I could remember the name, but I cannot, fought valiantly to save, to protect the integrity of the United States military, which, by the way, at that time was not really defined as we think of it today. It was a bunch of state-supported, mostly state and privately supported militia, mm-hmm, that came together to form the Union Army. And he fought vigorously to preserve the integrity of the U.S. uniform to define what an American soldier is. Because when they first went to war in the 1861, the Union Army had 9 or 10 different uniforms of all different various states. And this particular individual fought the government and even Lincoln at the time to preserve that, and said this firm's got to go. And that firm eventually went, but it took 2 years, where they literally would bend down and the clothes would fall apart.
But where does the integrity come in?
He held the line. He did not give in on his position, because it was a matter of both honor and integrity that the U.S. military had to define itself. And in the uniform, we did. Without it, we were just nothing but, as he defined it, militia. And I wish I could remember his name. And that's the one thing I can remember that came, when you said it, came popped right to the top of my head.
And well, he was obviously, we could look that up at some point.
Yes.
Because it's if it was Lincoln's Secretary of War, I mean, that's obviously in the history books. So.
And come on, I'm sure I'll get the emails.
Well, write to him, folks.
Write to me. Call Sabatino. But no, this came to mind, and I remember there was a long, drawn-out affair. We don't see much of that any longer. We did during World War II, specifically, where the United States government, the sacrifices that had to be, that were spread out across an even swath of the United States, not only congressional districts, but the people themselves, where integrity was a very vital part of being able to preserve a living space for Americans and support the war at the same time.
Everybody felt like they had to do something or could do something,
yes,
to support the war effort. I remember, I'm a little older than you, so I remember some of the stuff that we went through as citizens, particularly my grandmother, who got ration books.
Yes.
They rationed sugar, meat.
Yes.
It depended on the kind of job you had, whether you could get gasoline or not. I know my wife's father was a ambulance driver and an undertaker, and he got extra gasoline because of the ambulance and, you know, getting people to and from
hospitals. There was a very interesting subculture of I won't use the term black market, because it wasn't.
Oh, but it was.
But there was the black market.
Absolutely.
But there was a lot of conniving going on to get those books.
Oh, trading.
Oh, trading. Yes, absolutely.
If if you wanted, I remember my grandmother talking about she wanted a pair of nylons. I mean, you could hardly get. I don't know how she got them, but she did.
She did.
Got a pair. and they don't last long. In those days, I mean, yeah, you get a run in your stockings.
And that's it.
And
today, you can't punch a hole through them.
Well, what's interesting to me, here's two guys talking about nylons and a run in their stocking.
And Chris, our engineer, is looking at us saying, I'm going to read a newspaper now.
Yeah, neither one of these guys know what the heck they're talking about. Oh, I don't know.
And we started with integrity. Remember that?
Yes. Well,
but it was a good look. We don't have enough of it today. In short, I wish we had more. We don't have enough of it today.
I don't think you can teach it.
No.
I think it's something that comes from within, and when it is within, you have to find a way to be the evidence of it.
You also have to find a way sometimes to, I'll use the term, create it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stand tall for what you believe in. And sometimes there's no guideposts to say, I'm right or I'm wrong. You and I are both know. I've stood up on issues. You have. And sometimes we were, I was flat-ass wrong. I don't know how else to say that. I was not right. But I believed it firmly. I wasn't right.
But you were willing to admit publicly
that I was
rather
wrong.
Than stand on a falsehood, you were willing to take it to the admission that, hey, you know, I was wrong, and I apologize if that's necessary.
I believed in it, and I was wrong. And it got me involved in many discussions, particularly during the Vietnam War, on that same issue.
Oh, I can. We should talk about, maybe the next segment, let's talk about Vietnam.
Let's do that. Carl Sabatino and Roland Smith as we continue on discussing it all on Smith Sabatino.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. School's starting back and life's about to get hectic. Monday is soccer practice for Billy and ice skating for Jenny. Tuesday is English tutoring for one and tap dancing for the other. And then there's play practice, piano, ballet, and the list goes on. What to do? A little organized science to the rescue. Try a family calendar. Use one of the big ones so that there's plenty of room for each day to note the entire family's activities. And here's the twist. Each person in the family has their own color pin. Billy is red, Jenny is green, Mom is blue, and Dad, of course, is brown. Now, it's clear who's going to do what. What's the cheap psychological trick? Organization and routine in a family goes a long way toward a child's sense of security. And get this, family harmony. Got a back-to-school question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Can you go on vacation while collecting unemployment? The final verdict after this.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780. That's 877-219-8780.
Order in the court.
In exchange for unemployment benefits, you are bound by certain rules, which include looking for work and being available to accept work at any time. Although rules vary slightly from state to state, the law reads, individuals on vacation are not considered available to work, therefore are not eligible for benefits that week. And that's the final verdict.